Yeah, what was with the downloads this week?
I don't have any idea.
Was it a lot? Was it not enough?
What, 1,700 something?
Wow! Yeah.
Like, crazy.
Holy cow!
I don't know what boosted this particular episode, but it went bananas. Like, there was nothing super exciting about it, unless there's just a pile of Kate Bishop fans out there. I don't know. So after all that, do you want to add anything or change anything to this thing?
I do not believe so.
Do you like the Stay Sent Romeos?
Now, I have to ask.
Yes.
Where do all these things come from?
Well, I can't ruin the surprise. You got to figure it out.
All right. Because I tried to do Google searches on these, and nothing is coming up. So they're being created from whole cloth, obviously. And they're obviously not real. And honest to God, the first or second one that you guys did on Fresher in Parlance, Pete was like, they have real sponsors. And he named like the two that you guys had named the weeks before. And I'm just like, no. And I didn't tell him that they weren't real. And I'm like, Pete's a smart guy. He'll figure it out eventually.
Well, we do have real sponsors. It's just not those names.
Right.
Perondiac has a very interesting thing that he wanted us to do, and that's what we're doing.
So this was a request from a Patreon person?
This was.
Yeah. Okay.
We offer, if you're the top level, you can have a part of the show named after you or some such. He said, I don't want my name on it. I want a special set of things. And we said, done. If you watch all of the things, there's a link to all of them.
All right, I'm going to have to go back and do the research on it now.
I don't know if I'd be able to figure it out.
I don't know, but if you do figure it out, we'll be impressed and let us know.
All right.
So, yeah.
We'll keep it going for a while.
No, it's been solid. I won't deny him. He's been giving us monies. But, we got, there's a pile of these things to throw in there, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's Joshua, right?
Yeah.
I always have a problem associating names.
Yes.
A non-Jeff.
He was not right. Jeff.
Right.
I'm pretty sure that was Josh.
Yeah, he was the last guest we had.
I wish everybody would use the real name.
Sorry.
I have no idea who is who.
Oh, that's right. Are you talking about like with the new alliance, I guess?
Oh, it's killing me.
Well, that and people sign up for, if they sign up with Patreon, usually they give us one email address, which does not match their Reddit account, which does not match their MP3, their Puzzle Quest account name. So you're trying to like, wait, who is this person? Like
trying to put the pieces together. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And then, you throw in the Alliance where you had requests coming in straight into the Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea who these people were on Reddit, who they were in real life. And then I had like real life people friending me on Facebook. And I'm like, I don't know who's who. Oh, it was disaster.
Right. See, typically what I was doing was like when I put the call out on Reddit and I would get the response from someone and I'm like, okay, you're in. Tell me your name. Tell me your
right
in-game name. So I can add you, and then once I added them, I'd be like, okay, I've added you, now send the request to Facebook. Like, what I mean? Like, here's my real name, send me a request, I'll friend you, and then I'll add you to the group. Because, like, when we put the call out, like, I had a bunch of people, like, posting in it, I had a bunch of people sending me DMs, and then waiting to hear back from them to see what their game name was, and then we were just getting responses, like, requests from tons of people, and I'd deny, like, so many, or dismiss, or whatever you have to do.
Hmm. Yeah, I think at the end, we dismissed 3.
Yeah.
And there were 4 requests, and one of them had messaged me. I'm like, all right, you're the winner.
Right, and that's what it was. I'm like, I'm going to sit there and wait until I get a response to see if this lines up with a name that's going to message me on Reddit,
Right.
Hey, I got an email from Mike Quackenbush. Look at that.
Uh-oh. You're not in trouble, are you?
No, just tell me about the summer. I can stream all of season 16 now.
That's right. They are on the Chikaratopia thing, and I don't know if you saw, I know you ordered the DVD and everything. Of the show, but they just decided that this week it's going to be like, it used to be like a 6-month turnaround from the time a show was like a show happened to the time that it was available on our streaming service, and now they change it to a month
to
get people like more caught up on it, to try to draw more subscriptions to the site and everything. But yeah, so hey, they have like, I think it's a week free trial maybe. So, if you have time, want to check other stuff out, a week free trial.
Cool.
Chikara.
I was trying to see if I got an email from the one guy that joined our alliance, Ray.
Mm-hmm.
If you were watching any of the in-game chats, we were going back and forth a bunch on Sunday, I think it was. And about, because I threw out to them, like, you people are all new. Do you have any ideas, any things you want us to start covering on the show, more or less? you know, what it is, what do you like.
Right. Euronymous.
Yeah, he was supposed to send an email.
He sent something to the Facebook page. He said he was asked to put ideas for the show here, and now I am. He wants a longer show.
Yeah, that was his first request, is your show's not long enough, please make it longer.
Wow.
I was like, really? He's like, yeah, too many people make their podcast half hour. You guys should just it's done when it's done. Just talk until you're done with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, we kind of do. It's just...
Right. It's just there's only so much you could talk about.
Yeah.
Without it being like, okay, we're dragging this out for content, you know?
Yeah, outside of having a different podcast that's just us talking about everything in general. Like,
right.
That we got going on. So
he suggested a comic discussion, what books we're reading, which that would be short because I am currently not reading any.
I have an update on that I'm going to bring up later.
Oh, just as a side note, because that guy asked it, you should put in a segment on the show of what you were reading, and then just every week Ray just says, I'm not reading anything, and that's the segment. Like, you fulfilled his wish. He wanted you guys to talk about what you're reading. No problem. Every week we'll talk about what we're reading. Currently, nothing.
One thing that we talked about doing before, and then I think Ian forgot, was that we're going to start, for the feature character of the week, giving a little bit more background of who these people are in the Marvel Universe.
Oh, like reading like a little wiki thing about them or something?
Yeah, because, you know, some of these characters aren't super well known. You know, if you're not up to date on Marvel stuff, no one knew who Kate Bishop was. Like, I was like, who?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not up that there's another Hawkeye. I had to go look her up. So other people requested that, hey, will you do the character of the week, can you maybe give me more background on who these characters are, what they do? And we're like, yeah, we should do that. I think we did it 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't gone back to it. But he asked for that again.
You know, I know, like, wiki is, like, the way to do a lot of stuff. But I think for pretty much every Marvel character, if you go to Marvel.com...
Yeah, they have a page.
They have a page where it's, like, a very good synopsis, like a little tiny paragraph that sums every single character up perfectly.
I don't know that we need to do that with this week's feature character, because everybody knows, should know who she is.
Right, right.
But still something to try and keep in mind, though.
Boy, I don't know about the Marvel Universe wiki at Marvel.com. If you look up Sue Storm, and they have a power grid...
Yes.
Fans votes and official ratings of power. She is the greatest character ever made. She has it's a scale of 1 to 7, apparently. She has a 5 in speed and a 4 in strength.
Hmm.
Come on.
That's very dubious.
She's just a woman. She can't, like, she has no super speed.
Wow.
She's not fast. She's not strong.
Well, I guess
she's
maybe
got the strength
they're
of an in-shape woman in her 50s. I mean, come, you know, what is this chart based on?
Well, you said fan voting.
Well, but there's also official ratings. So fan votes are in red, official ratings are in blue.
Hmm.
And the only place where they differ is that the fan votes say that she's even smarter. They have her at a 6 out of 7, so she's almost as smart as Reed.
Oh boy.
Like, no.
Yeah, now the energy projection, yeah, she's really powerful there.
Sure! Definitely. I'll give you energy projection. I'm not giving you durability, fighting skills, speed, strength, or intelligence. Not gonna happen.
Right.
She's not that cool.
Now, I will say this. While I agree with you, any character could become super awesome if it's written in a story where it's convincing that they're that awesome, if that makes any sense. So I'm sure there's some guy who wrote Fantastic Four who loves Sue Storm, and they wrote her to be the most powerful character in the universe.
All right, if you go and look up her husband, he's got a 3 in strength, a 2 in speed, and a 2 in fighting skills.
He better have a 7 in intelligence.
He has a 7 in intelligence.
All right.
No, that's the fan vote. The official rating, he has a 6. Isn't he supposed to be one of the 3 smartest people on the planet?
He is.
So how is he not the top rated? Isn't it like, it's like him and who else you got? Tony Stark, maybe?
There actually is an official rating somewhere in the Marvel Universe.
Stephen Strange is up there, you know.
Where Doctor Doom is up there,
Dr.
and Cho
Doom
is up
there.
Yeah, and Cho as well.
Cho is supposed to be up there, sure, because he's the crazy mathematician. But how is Reed Richards not the top of the scale?
Oh, boy. Bruce Banner's up there.
Sure, he's a nuclear physicist. I'm on board. I get it. I'm down with it. But Reed has to be a 7 out of 7. That's his whole shtick. He's the brilliant guy.
Hey, you're preaching to the choir on this one, man.
Sigh.
I'd like to know how he's a 3 with energy projection.
I thought he was a 1.
Well, one on official ratings. Fan votes put him at a 3.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm apparently stretching your is a 3 in power ratings.
There you go.
You can edit that part out of the show, right? All I picture is that I assume that he has sex the way that, like, Dr. Manhattan does, where this, right. like, stuff is just going on everywhere.
I hope they never get... I hope things never get that far that that comic exists.
Well, did they stop? I thought I heard they stopped Fantastic Four.
It is. It was terminated.
Yeah, the characters are still... Well, Reed and Sue are, like, in some other thing, rebuilding the rest of the universe after the most recent Secret War. Johnny is somehow involved with the Inhumans, and Ben is one of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Like, everyone's there. Like, everyone's right. around, but...
Yeah, the FF comic got killed. Yes. I heard that part of that was that they're, you know, again, Disney's trying to get back the movie rights so they can make a movie that doesn't suck balls.
Marvel will lie and say that's not what it is, but that's absolutely what it is.
Yeah.
Because you remember last year when the Fantastic Four movie came out, all the Fantastic Four toys that they had?
You know that one weekend it was in the theaters?
Mm-hmm. And then the X-Men Apocalypse, right? All those X-Men Apocalypse toys that are out?
Yeah.
You've seen them cluttering the shelves, right? Nope, not a single one. Because Marvel won't put their money behind a property that they don't have the film rights to. So they're just like, screw you guys, we're not going to help you.
Can't blame them, especially when the movies are so awful.
No, I agree wholeheartedly.
They've like, all been bad. Point, every just, Fantastic Four movie's been terrible.
And the craziest thing about it is, if you go back, of all the Fantastic Four movies that are out, that exist, the Roger Corman one is probably the best of them all.
The one from the unreleased one?
Yes.
Oh my god, that thing's terrible. The special effects are god-awful.
Okay, it's terrible. The special effects are awful. If you have time, watch all 4 Fantastic Four movies. Yeah. And after you're done, tell me which of the 4 was the best. And you will invariably come back and say, that Roger Corman one was the best out of these 4.
And I remember when I first saw that, and just the thing and stuff, I was like, oh my, this is bad.
We actually, when that it was supposed to be released, I think like 92 or 93, friends of mine had rented the film Carnosaur from the local Blockbuster Video, and the trailer for the Fantastic Four movie was on Carnosaur.
Ooh.
And we freaked out. We went crazy because like it was 1992 or 1993. Like there was no such thing as the internet. Yeah. There was no such things as like advanced things or whatever it was. Like as a child, I learned there was a third Star Wars movie because I saw the trailer for it. Like that's how I knew it was coming. And we freaked out, and then the movie never came out, and then as, like, the years went on, and, your Fangorias and your Starlogs and those type of magazines start releasing the articles about what happened to the movie, you're just like, ah, it all makes sense now. But even in the trailer, it looked terrible. Like, this is the best they could do, but we still freaked out because it was a Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah, it was bad. All right. We ready to roll this show? No changes? No ads, moves, changes?
I think I'm good.
And make sure you rub it in Brian's face that you've been on this show twice. And he's
absolutely.
Not. I don't know. He's on too many shows now. He's got Prime Defective going. I mean, he's busy.
They also
do that on Wednesday nights, which is so.
Right, because I saw him tweet out that they were recording it. And it just so happens that, like, this is a I have this that I'm on with you guys, and then my friend, one of the wrestlers, has a podcast with his buddies, and we recorded it like 2 weeks ago, and he's releasing it tomorrow.
Oh.
So it's like, I had my podcast today, 2 other podcasts with me on it coming out tomorrow, and then my After Dark on Friday. It's just like, people are going to be sick and tired of hearing me. Like, if you listen to me, it's just too much.
All right. Here's a question. Wait, we got a guest. Did you hate my new opening I made the 1 week where Ian and Ray both groaned at me?
No, I love... Craig, I love all of your openings, all of your singing, all of your shenanigans. I love it all.
I don't even remember what it was, to be honest.
I had a little, like, sing-songy poem, and Ian complained and said it was the worst thing he's ever heard.
I think it was, he didn't like it because it was different. Well, you just had to keep doing it.
Oh, maybe. I don't know, they complained because it said the Tales of the Puzzle Warriors. Are like, why does it say Tales? That doesn't make any sense.
Like, that's right.
I'm like, we're telling stories, it's the name of the show. I thought it made sense. I don't know. Maybe when Ian comes back, I'll bust it out again just to irritate him. I don't know. I liked it. That's
always fun.
Yeah. I do like to get Ian on a rant.
And you never know what's going to set him off. That's the best part. You never know. It could be anything or it could be nothing.
Yeah. All right. Let's do the official open. Here we go. Believers, and welcome all to the 42nd installment of the Puzzle Warriors 3. I am the Woolly One, also known as Craig. With me, as always, Chaos 72, better known as Ray.
Hello.
Hello. Ian is off on another family beach-type vacation of some such somewhere. Maybe he'll get hit by a hurricane. I don't know what's going on. He'll be back next week, assuming he doesn't get hit by a hurricane. So, since Ian's missing, we are joined by our own podcast network aficionado, Leonard F. Chikarson, our first returning guest. So welcome visit number two.
Right. I will be the only returning guest as long as I make sure Angry Salad, a.k.a. Brian, is never, ever on the show again.
We will invite him again, but he's just on all these podcasts. He's a busy guy.
Well, there was an episode of Prodigal Sons that's lost to the ether that they recorded.
Oh, right.
And for whatever reason, Brian's part just didn't record. So there's a version of the show that exists that they're going to release someday where it's the four of them talking, but Brian's audio is not there. So they're talking to Brian. Brian's saying things. They're reacting to what Brian's saying, and they're going to release it to the listeners and say, hey, you fill in what you think Brian was saying here. And I think Jared even said, like, there's some sort of, like, Amazon gift card amount that you can get for whoever gets the best one.
Wow. I'll have to figure out when they're doing that episode so I can play along.
I see it sitting in the Dropbox every week, and I'm waiting for it to get published.
That sounds like a fun game. I don't know. Are members of the podcast network eligible to play?
Well, listen, I'm not going to say that I have multiple Socko accounts or fake email addresses that I can somehow Shanghai my way around it, but I just did, so I will.
All right, I'm going to derail this show right at the start. So, since we've got our comic expert with us, I'm
going
to bust this out. So, last week, I'm lounging in my pool. I am listening to one podcast featuring two guys talk about comics. They tell me about a new comic they call Future Quest.
Oh.
I'm like, this sounds amazing. Why do I not have this comic? So, I go down to my local comic book store the next day, sold out. I'm like, ah, crap. So, I go online and I buy a mint copy online. You know, they charge me the standard $4 for the comic, but it's like $6.50 to ship it to me, bagged and boarded.
Wow.
So, but I'm like, I don't care. I want, you know, because they, you know, the guy at the comic book store is like, oh, they're going to reprint it. We can put you on a list and we'll order you a reprint. And I'm like, I don't want a reprint. You know, I want the first one.
Yeah.
So I got it in. I have read it. And now I think I have to go back down to my local comic book store and tell them that I want them to pull it for me every month, because this looks like it's going to be the greatest thing ever.
Yes.
I mean, it's for the those who haven't looked this up, if you're old like us, and you were ever a fan of the old Hanna-Barbera kind of stuff, and you liked Johnny Quest, Space Ghost, The Herculoids, Birdman, who am I missing?
Thunder of the Barbarian.
All of these characters are going to appear in this comic. So, I love Johnny Quest. I'm a sucker for Johnny Quest. So, I had to have this thing, and based on your guys' review, I was like, I need to go get it tomorrow. And I ran right down to the store, and they were sold out, and I was sad. And then the comic book guy told me how good it was. So, I was
just, like, sticking the knife in. It's like, yeah, this comic, that's fantastic. We don't have any. Sorry. Yep.
And
you can buy one of the other ones that stink.
Yeah, there's a big, you know, poster for it on the wall, and I'm like, oh. So, but yes. However, my idea, Future Quest, two thumbs up, so that is a book that I'm going to start reading, I think, monthly.
Awesome, and that makes me happy whenever somebody buys a comic specifically because we talked about it on the show. Like, it makes me feel as though we're doing our jobs as podcasters, as comic book people, as whatever, right?
Yep.
Because we, you know, from time to time it happens. You read a comic that stinks.
Yep.
It happens. But if you focus on the comics that stink, then there's never going to be new comics. There's never going to be new comic readers. Nothing. Now, I will say this. The next issue doesn't come out for another month. It doesn't come out until the 6th of July. Ugh. So I would definitely go put that on your pull list. You already ordered your print copy, so you don't have to worry about that. I was actually going to say, I'm surprised that you did not go and buy a copy digitally.
I thought about it, but I really wanted to hold it. I wanted to have it in my hand.
I getcha.
You know, it has nice cover art. It's featuring all the characters all, you know, on it.
Right.
It was a very well done comic. Normally, I did not read a lot of this. This is published by DC Kids, for those who want to find out about this comic. I was never a big DC person. I've always been a Marvel person, but this is a really quality comic. My two cents. If you like it, if you like Johnny Quest or any of those sorts of characters, I say go get it.
And you don't have to worry about any of the other nonsense that's going on in the world of DC.
Right.
This is the... And, like, you don't even have to worry about the other Hanna-Barbera stuff, because they're doing, like, the weird reboot of the Flintstones, they have the Scooby Apocalypse book, which looks, like, super strange.
Yeah.
And then they have the Mad Max-inspired Wacky Racers book coming out. They're all separate, they all exist in their own separate things. All
right, when's that coming out? I think you're selling me on Mad Max Wacky Racers.
let me look.
Because, boy, there's two things I love, Mad Max movies. And Wacky Racers. If Sweet Penelope picks up and show up, like, what? Who are we getting in this?
I'm saying, you know, Mad Max inspired. But it actually is, like, they had the designs of the trucks and everything done by the guy who did the most recent Mad Max Fury Road film.
Oh,
wow.
It claims as though the first issue is already out, that it had come out actually today as we're recording this, which would be yesterday. According to this, and it's called Wacky Race Land.
All right, I will make a trip down to my local comic book store tomorrow and check this out.
Yes.
And see if that one's also sold out the second I get there.
Well, like I said, any comic shop worth its salt should have it and or should have be able to get them for you in stock. But yeah, it's when you see what it looks like, it, you know, it's definitely taking these characters and like reading the description of it, it's like Penelope Pitstop, Peter Perfect, and the rest of the Wacky Racers vie to the finish line, so on and so forth. Worst of all, Dick Dastardly's murderous poor sportsmanship. So, like, all those characters are in there, but they don't look like they did in the cartoon.
All right, I will go down and put Future Quest on my pull list and have him hook me up with Wacky Racers number one.
Yes.
Oh, man, that's exciting. Man, good more info. Oh, it looks incredible. He just sent me the link. Look at it.
This is the visual part of the podcast.
Yeah, sorry, folks. The world has ended, but the race has just begun. Oh, man. Yep, I got to totally go get that. Yeah, I ended up buying it, you know, from some online comic store, and because I didn't want a reprint. I wanted a copy.
So gotcha.
If anybody's looking for a comic to read, no, it's not Marvel, but totally check it out.
No, it's okay. DC with their reboot is doing all right so far. I didn't get a chance to read the books that had come out this week yet. I usually don't get a chance to read my comics until about a day or so after I pick them up. But, like, the new Batman was really good. The new Green Arrow, if, like, you have any knowledge of Green Arrow prior to the Arrow TV show, like, if your version of Oliver Queen is the guy with, like, the little pointy goatee, that's what this book is.
Oh,
but it's... You know, and it still plays into everything that has kind of come before it and come in the last couple of years from DC. This week was the new Wonder Woman book, the new Flash book, which I'm excited about. So, you know, there's a lot of good stuff. I have hope. Like, I want DC to be good. I want DC Comics to be good. I want DC TV to be good. I want DC movies to be good. And when DC movies are not good, it crushes a small part of me. You know, and Marvel's great now. Like, Marvel is, to me, unstoppable when it comes to, like, not their TV. I unfortunately gave up on
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I enjoyed Agent Carter.
Right, and I was one of those people that, like, I'm like, Agents of Carter, I'm all in, season one, and this show stinks. And I'm like, I'm going to keep watching it because it's Marvel and it's TV. It'll get good eventually. And then I think the week before Winter Soldier came out was when I'm like, we're done. It's over. We're out. And then everyone's like, oh my god, after Winter Soldier, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is great. I'm like, no. And I was like, just too stubborn to go back.
No, it is, because it's all tied into the movies now. It's all it's all on board.
Yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is definitely a good... I never got into Agent Carter. I tried. I got through like two episodes, and I just... I don't know. I might get back to it, but...
It's... Obviously, it's you know, Agent Carter and... oh man, I just forgot his name. Tony Stark's butler. Jarvis. Are the main characters.
Right.
And they're doing their thing. However, I love the way it's filmed. It's the colors pop on it. Like, it's a very visual TV show to me. It just the look of it is very nice.
Sure.
It's kind of, you remember how when they did the Dick Tracy movie and they tried to make the colors comic booky?
Unfortunately, yes, I do.
Okay. Well, this is not done well to me, cuz you know, the Dick Tracy movie was terrible, but the TV show I enjoy.
Now see, I think I haven't seen it in a long time. But I enjoyed the Dick Tracy movie when it came out, and there's allegedly an R-rated cut that exists of it that is just, like, littered with violence.
Oh, well, I want that version.
I know. I think there was like some sort of not Dick Tracy movie, but like, you know, like it was some anniversary of the Dick Tracy comic, and Warren Beatty did an interview where said like, yeah, because of like whatever his issues with DC are, or DC with Disney, there's a cut of the movie that he wants to release that is more gritty and more violent than what was released in the theaters, obviously, because it was an early 90s Disney film. Right. And he's like, they just won't give me the rights to it. And it's like, no kidding, they're not going to just give, like, some dude, and again, some dude, the guy who starred in it, but again, just some dude the rights to a film. It's like, yeah, here, we're not doing anything with this. We have no idea how to make money with it. You could have it. Go make all the money you want. No, no, we're okay. We don't want any money from it. We're Disney. No, that's not the way it works. And I think Disney just doesn't want to release something that could be perceived as that, or something that like would show that they might have been wrong. I have no idea what it is, but I really want to see that R-rated cut of Dick Tracy.
Yeah, that sounds good. All right, for derail number two.
So, really? You're going to hit two derails before we even get to the Daily Deadpool?
Yeah. Yeah, why not? So last night I went and saw X-Men Apocalypse.
Okay.
I enjoyed it highly. Again, you know, with the way the X-Men movies have been rolling, you got to, you know, disavow every X-Men universe you've ever known, because they don't care about any of those rules or timelines. Those are completely meaningless in the X-Men movie franchises. However, the one thing I cannot get past is the weird multi-universe thing that kept happening to me when Sansa Stark kept coming on the screen and talking at me. And I was like, damn it, Sansa, shut up.
Sansa Stark?
Yes.
It's she. The actress who plays Sansa is the same actress who is playing young Jean Grey.
Oh.
So, you know, her hair
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. So her hair's
okay,
the same.
See, I'm not a Game of Thrones person either, so.
That's heresy. Okay, so.
I can explain that, but go ahead.
No, you can't.
Okay.
Are you too poor to afford HBO?
No.
Then you cannot explain this.
No. I have very limited time to watch things, right? Having a small child, Game of Thrones, I will ask you this. Is Game of Thrones a show I can watch with a four-year-old?
Absolutely
no,
not.
No.
Okay.
No
so
chance.
My time to watch things is very limited. I also like to be able to spend time with my wife, just catching up on the day and just relaxing and things like this.
She may enjoy Game of Thrones.
We watched the first episode, and she said it was too violent for her.
Well, it did start off out the gate pretty strong. There are some episodes that are still violent, and there's lots of episodes with lots of nudity. But
the first episode is very low in violence compared to some of the others.
Right, and, you know, my wife and I, before, you know, we had a son, like, we would go and see, like, the most horrible, like, violent movies and horror movies and just, like, the weird Italian zombie movies and all this crazy nonsense. But, like, after becoming a mother, like, those maternal instincts kicked in and she's changed and she doesn't like those things. And I might have told the story before somewhere else, but, like, my son had just been born. He was maybe not even a month old. We're both sitting on the couch, my wife and I. She's feeding our son and we're watching the most recent episode of The Walking Dead, and it's a scene where Rick is in a car and the windshield is busted and a zombie is trying to get in at him, and as the zombie is doing so, the broken glass is shredding the zombie's face off, right?
Right.
And it was at that point my wife turned to me, she's like, yep, I can't do it anymore, I'm out, I can't. I go, what do you mean? She goes, I can't take this. She goes, something changed. I would have liked this a long time ago, but now I don't. And that was the end. Like, she hasn't watched the Walking Dead TV show since. She stopped reading the Walking Dead comic. You know, it's just like something changed in her, and I don't want to be one of those things where, like, she's in one room watching something and I'm in another room watching another thing. I'd like to be able to spend time with her, and if she says, I don't want to watch Game of Thrones, I have to make the sacrifice. Like, we watched the first four episodes of Breaking Bad. I loved it. She did not. She thought it was going to be funny. And I'm like, this is hilarious. She goes, no, I thought it was a different kind of funny. And I'm just like, no, another show I'll never get to watch.
So anyway,
so the Jean Grey is in Game of Thrones.
Yes, and she kept appearing on the screen, and it was kind of wigging me out. But once I got past that, it was an enjoyable movie. I liked it. I don't want to throw out spoilers, but I don't know. If you like X-Men movies, I thought it was good.
I did like the most two recent, your right. First Class and your Days of Future Past. Those were both very good, so I'm sure one day I will see this.
Yeah, it was I liked it. I thought it was good. If you like Marvel movies, if you like X-Men, I like those things. I thought it was good.
I've heard nothing but good reviews so far, so I'm going to have to go see it.
I mean, especially when Tuesday nights at the local movie theater is $5 night. So, and if you've got your rewards card, it's free popcorn. You get a movie and popcorn for $5. Can't beat it. I'm just saying. All right, let's talk about this here game. What are we talking about? Marvel Puzzle Quest. All right, this is the week of, we're just now getting to the date. June 8th to June 15th. Crazy people just keep talking about random stuff. Your Deadpool dailies for this week. Wednesday, today, your red is Red Deadpool. Thursday, Green Gamora. Friday, Green Widow. Saturday, Black Loki. Sunday, Purple Dream Warrior. Monday, Yellow Squirrel Girl. Tuesday, Black Doom. And Wednesday, next Wednesday, is Purple Mystique. Things that have passed. June 6th on your 5-day 4-star crash. Not the Titans. You had Deadpool. Did anybody win that one? I got stompified.
Not only did I win that one, but I won it on the first pass without any effort whatsoever.
Yeah, well, X-Force is your champion. Not X-Force. Your Deadpool's pretty high up, right?
He's at 153, and I have him at 313, so his good powers are at level 3. So, yeah, it was just a stomping. I mean, I did prepare. Like, I had my boosts already. I knew what my plan was, what I was going to deny, exactly what I was doing, and right. It just worked the very first time. I still had 5,000 health at the end of the fight, so it went stupid well.
Wow.
I would as well. My Deadpool is only level 131, 353, which in this essentially was 303, right. Because the black power doesn't matter. It did take me 3 tries, only because in trying to deny black, too many green matches happened. And then the second one, I'm like, all right, I'm going to more focus on green, and too many black matches happened. And then the next time around, I boosted everything that I needed to do, like starting off with as much purple and as red as I possibly could. And I'm like, I'm only making black and green matches. If red and purples happen to happen, they're going to happen. I'm only matching green and black. And it was on the third one that I finally beat him.
Yeah, my Deadpool was level 94. So at 222. I did not spend the ISO on him because I've been hoarding it for a really bad decision that we'll talk about later.
I'm in a similar boat, yes.
All right, the next one coming up on the 11th is She-Thor versus, I don't know.
Ragnarok.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. She-Thor versus Ragnarok.
We should keep track of these things so that we can actually...
We should, and there's someone on this show at this moment who does keep track of these things, and we should just ask him.
I was going to say, if only somebody had a spreadsheet that kept track of all these things.
He does. It should be on a Google Doc somewhere where I could get to it easily.
Yes. I'm getting to it as we speak.
Okay. So mine is also level 94 because I just don't level these people, apparently. She's a 143.
Mm.
So I don't think I'll have much luck in that one either, since my, you know, one with the highest covers is the, isn't that the area attack one?
Yeah, it's the least powerful, yeah.
So, where are you at? What do you got?
I expect a lot. I currently have her at level 183.
Ooh.
At 524. I use her consistently now with IM40.
Sure.
To just, she is a monster when it comes to dealing damage.
For our regular listeners and don't know what an IM40 is, he means Battery Man.
Yes, thanks. By the way, we still need to complete that list.
Oh, that's true. It has been requested that we make a list of all the names of things we've given things.
Okay.
Mostly names of things that I've given things, but...
But yeah, you fire off Iron Man's charge, and I can get like 2 hits. I don't have her powers in front of me, but her blue power, I can normally get it off twice before the power surge. So I have 8 charge tiles across the board, and that makes Smite do, I'm not really sure, but I've seen upwards of like 10 to 12,000 points of damage from a single casting Smite. So
wow,
she is just a... Like I said, a monster when it comes to damage. So when she's by herself, it's going to take a lot longer to charge.
Right.
But I still have high hopes.
So I hate to do this.
Uh-oh.
However, as was kind of spoiled privately to Ray, I have a Dying on the Vine Thor cover that's going to die in 8 minutes.
Oh.
So can I open my tokens now? Because I don't want to sell that Thor token just in case I get the red Thor cover that I need.
Right.
Okay.
All right, you jump ahead, we'll catch up later.
Okay, so I'm opening my latest Legends right now.
Okay.
I got a red Ghost Rider, I could use that. I got a yellow Invisible Woman, that's getting sold.
Yeah.
Now, 5 classics are getting open.
Wow, it's going whole hog here.
First one, War Machine, green, I'll take it. Why is War Machine in classics? Anyway, I'll still take it.
How did you get it? Yeah, he shouldn't be in classics yet. He doesn't.
No, he should not.
War Machine's a 4-star. What are you talking about?
But he just got introduced. He should be in latest, not classics.
No, that only applies to 5-stars.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, right, sorry.
Red Hulk. I could use that. Blue Teen Jean. I could use that.
Yeah, Teen Jeans are always good.
It's purple. It's another Phoenix cover. It's purple Phoenix.
Oh, nice.
I could use that too. Last but not least, a Green Cho.
All right, so,
sadly, my yellow Thor cover has to die in the vine. Bye-bye.
Oh, that's so sad.
Oh, that is sad.
And we'll get into the rest of my dying in the vine stuff here shortly.
Okay, but sell that one off.
I just didn't
want to
lose that cover.
Yep, sell that one for cash.
All right.
Sell it for cash.
So in the meantime, where do you actually have her at? I know you need red.
She is at level 209, 255. So she is a great support piece. You know, and a lot of like when I need to breeze through a PvE, I'll use her, Old Man Logan, and Phoenix, and I'll just crush the world. Like, I could beat, like, the jobber nodes, like, the first three or four nodes of a PvE with that trio in, like, four moves. It's ridiculous. And she was, like, honestly, she and Hulkbuster Iron Man were the two people I really wanted to champion tonight. But, again, I needed that red cover so that I could champion her. The yellow cover would bump her up. I didn't get it. Here we are.
All right. Well, that's sad that you didn't get to save it.
I'm sad. I knew it was going to be cutting it close. I'm really sorry to throw off the flow of the show. I really am. But I didn't want to have it expire.
Well, yeah. if some jerks hadn't talked about other stuff for half an hour, it would have been later in the show. The time would have worked out better, but you know how it is. All right, so back on track. Story events. What's running right now? Venom Bomb. Venom Bomb is up and running at the moment. 17,500 will get you a purple Kamala Khan. 42,000 for your 25 CP. Top 10 folks get a Teen Jean, and 11 through 200 is one of the besties ever, Iron Fist. Then coming up is Enemy of the State, which we will talk about more shortly. 64,000 gets you another Iron Fist. 116,000 for the CP. Top 10 gets you X-23, and 11 to 200 is Mohawk, featured in that their X-Men Apocalypse movie. Your PvP events. Cover Squirrel happened while we weren't paying attention. 800 got you a Purple Squirrel Girl. 1,000 for Carnage. 1,300 for the CP. First spot was Cyclops. 2,300 for Gray Suit covers. So now Hollow Point Kiss is up and going. 800 for the Red Gray Suit. 1,000 for another Cyclops. 1,300 for the CP. Top spot gets you a Kate Bishop. And 2 through 100 are Magneto covers. So the new season is up and going. I don't think we mentioned this last time. So this year for Simulator, 900 gets you a Punisher, 1,200 to Doc Ock, 1,400 Battery Man, 1,700 for Luke Cage, and 2,000 points will get you the War Machine cover. So that'll be nice. That'll get me another War Machine cover, which I'll be looking forward to.
Yeah, I don't have War Machine, so I'm not actually looking forward to that. But I'm sure by the time I get there, I can have the 1,000 hero points that I need.
Oh, so you have him? Oh, you don't? Oh, that'll be how you'll recruit him. Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't have him at all. So
you didn't get him in the PvE?
Nothing.
Oh, man, that stinks. So you guys mentioned last week, you know, obviously there was the roster split, the alliance split. How did you guys, how did your guys' alliance do with the Cover Squirrel and the 21 guns?
I don't know. You would think that we would pay attention to that, but you'd be wrong.
Actually, I have started actually paying attention to that since we're not going to have Leonard keeping track of everything.
Okay.
You know, we're doing exactly what I expect. We said that it's a casual alliance, so we had, you know, half dozen players get 400 or 500 points. We don't have anybody who's really, you know, high scoring. And then on the Cover Squirrel, it went way downhill. Hardly anybody really put a lot of effort into it. I think our high score was like 361. And
I didn't play it much.
Yeah, we had maybe half the alliance who got over 300, but that's about where I expect.
Yeah, I didn't play. I played very little in the past few days. So last night I was out at the, you know, at the movies, and then I went drinking with my cop buddies. And
right, so. And Ian's been on vacation, so he's not doing... He actually played Cover Squirrel, but he's not been doing a whole lot.
Yeah, I played enough to get the token at 300 points, and then that's as far as I bothered.
Right. However, I hear that the Long Box Heroes did really well.
We did good in these two events, you know, because we got so close for 21 Guns, not as close for Cover Squirrel, but there was a point where I think whatever slice we were in, we were like 90-something place overall. It would have been the first time that we finished above 100, which gets you that extra cover for that character.
Right.
And we ended up, I think, with 21 Guns like 112th, and with Cover Squirrel 116th.
Oh, so close.
Right, we're getting close. You know what I mean? And I think once like the new group gets into the groove of things, it gets to like characters that everybody else has and, you know, whatever it is. Because, you know, I think 21 Guns sometimes is tough because a lot of people either don't have the character or don't like, you know, because you get the freebie character, which I love using because it saves you a health pack, of course.
Right. Yep.
But he's not as powerful and everyone's kind of at the same level playing field. And then you're based on whoever's boosted or whoever you have for your other two. And that could, you know, prove more of a problem than not. But I think once we get into the swing of things with the Alliance, we'll be hopefully getting much, much closer to getting over that 100th place. But again, for me at this point, like, if we get it, great. It'll be awesome. If we don't get it, you know, we'll get there eventually.
But I saw that there were, what, 4 or 5 people who scored over 1,000 points?
I think so. And I think we did that for 21. No, that was 21 Guns.
Okay.
21 Guns, we had a ton of people that got over 1,000. This one, it was just me and Brian, I think. It was like, I had 1133, Brian had 1108, and then the next was 838.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people didn't do so great in this one, I think only because a lot of people, for whatever reason, just don't like Squirrel Girl. I think Squirrel Girl is awesome. And, like, both the character in-game and, you know, everything else about her. The comic is good, in-game I think the character is great, and I think a lot of people just don't have her rostered. Or don't have her rostered strong enough. Like, oh, I have a bunch of covers, but I never put any ISO into her, so she stinks.
Right.
Like, one of those sort of things, you know?
So, on that line, I do actually have her champion now, and I have to ask, what is the best build for her? How do you use her?
I personally use her, and again, I'm just getting into my roster here where I see her. Right now, I have her at 4-5-4.
That's what I have mine as well.
Yeah, but I do play with them sometimes. Like, that's what I keep her at her base at. But obviously in this, I was using her with Phoenix and Old Man Logan, so I wasn't going to be using her yellow as much. So I moved her just for the event to 3-5-5, because I would never use her yellow. Right. I would always be using Old Man Logan's yellow,
right.
And Phoenix's green only comes up after she dies, so I was basing it there. But 4-5-4, I think, is a good balance for her.
Interesting. Okay. I still stick with the fact that I don't like the character. I hate the fact that they just put unbeatable in front of her and therefore she can't be, you know, she can win any battle or whatever. I think it's just a little silly. One, she is silly. She, you know,
right.
the animation,
silly.
Whatever. That's the kind of thing
Iron Man's always been invincible.
But not really.
Well, but that's what's in the title of the book.
Right, but in Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, that literally means she's unbeatable. She's defeated everyone what? She's ever gone up against.
He's invincible. He's
but
a loon.
He's not invincible.
That's because
he's not
a loon.
Like the Tick.
I'm invincible. You're a loon.
Everyone needs a cool adjective. Like, Ant-Man right now is the astonishing Ant-Man. Is Ant-Man all that astonishing? Kinda. I like Ant-Man a lot, but not everybody else thinks that, you know?
If you're talking Pym Ant-Man, yes. If you're talking 2-bit thug who gets the Ant-Man suit, no.
Oh, I like them all. If you wore an Ant-Man costume, I like you. There's a third Ant-Man even, Aaron O'Grady, who's even more of a thug than Scott Lang, and he was the irredeemable Ant-Man.
Oh.
And that's a great run on a comic book as well. I think he's dead. I think, like, he was on some sort of covert Avengers team and then decided, like, I'm going to betray you guys and join Hydra. And then Hydra killed him.
Oh, well, you know, that'll happen. So as I'm looking at we were talking about Squirrel Girl's powers here. Here's my thought. I'm going to try this. I'll get back to you next week. I'm going to team her up with Carnage so that the enemy gets a pile of special tokens on the board. And then I'll just nuts from above them to death.
Yep. Another good thing is pairing her up with Patch.
You do
Patch, you do Loki, right? You build up the purple, you build up the green, you build up the black. You have Patch do his Berserker Rays, put out all the enemy strike tiles. You have her nuts from above, and then you do Loki to switch them all back to defend tiles for yourself.
Yeah, that's a good plan. So I'll give this a go. I think I want
to
try.
Trying to work as many angles as you can with these characters.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try with Carnage, because I don't use Carnage all that often, but and then somebody who can heal. Probably Kamala Khan.
Kamala Khan.
Yeah, it'll probably be Kamala Khan.
Kamala Khan, another awesome character.
Oh, tremendous.
Yeah, definitely.
Still dumb animation, and that stupid ding noise drives me insane. But can't debate the in-game power.
There you go.
All right. We touched about this, the freebie character. So you should have all gotten to play with Kate a little bit as your freebie character in the story event there. What'd you think of her? I thought she came off strong. Stronger really? Than I expected. Some of her attacks did a fair amount of damage.
True. I guess it was, I think it's because she was boosted in that, though.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if you want me to get into the listener comments, but let me just tell you, a lot of people don't agree with you.
Yeah. I'm not saying she's great. I did, you know, there's worse characters.
There was my opinion was she was completely mediocre.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you now. I completely agree with Bri the Fry Guy, who said, I know you can be overwhelmed and you can be underwhelmed. Can you just be whelmed? I think with Hawkeye, she just whelms me. That's exactly where I'm at. It's just, okay.
So I guess he's feeling gruntled.
Exactly.
I don't think she's terrible. I like some of the different things that they're doing. Like, obviously, people are lamenting. It's like, oh, her anti-healing thing is too much AP, or, right. You know, she's doing a thing that does damage to herself, or whatever it is. All those things are fine complaints. My biggest complaint is, you know, as you guys had mentioned last week, that you weren't even aware that there was a second Hawkeye. The book that she appears in has such a stylized art style that's really the only place where I've ever seen her. She's popped up in other books, Young Avengers and the like, but that's been her primary book. So I'm so used to seeing her look that way as she's drawn in what most recently ended up as the run on Hawkeye by Matt Fraction and David Aja. When I see her in the game and she looks like a character in the game as opposed to how she's been drawn in the comic for the better part of the last 3 years, it's like, that's not her. That's not the right character. Like, the look throws me off, you know? Mm. They even have Pizza Dog in there just peeking out from behind her. I wish they would have incorporated Pizza Dog into one of the powers, but alas. Yes. Once I get more covers, I'll probably be able to get a better feel on her. I only got the one, but, you know, we'll see what more we get from here.
Sure.
All right. In news that's very old at this point, because you should already know all this stuff, but it came out, like, literally right after we published last week's show. The 5-star drop rate and ISO amounts have changed. So, in case you didn't catch it last week, there are now increased odds of 5 stars in Legendary packs. 5 stars in Latest and Classic Legends is up to 15%, up from 10%. So that is now a 5%, up from 3.33% in Latest Legends, and 3.75% in Classic Legends, up from 3.33%. So it's a nice feature. Gets you some more 5-star pulls. What else we got?
All the ISO changes.
All the ISOs. Sellback prices. So if you now sell back your max champion level characters, you now get better rewards. Before, it really wasn't worth it at all. Now, if you sell back a level 144 2-star character, you will get back 65,000 ISO. Under the old system, it was 17,000 ISO.
Ugh. 17,500.
But so that is a huge difference there. Takes away a lot less of the pain. Although I still don't know that I'll ever be able to live with myself and sell off a max covered person, a max leveled person. I just don't think I can do it.
A week ago, I would have said the same thing. I may be selling one on the show tonight.
Wow.
We shall see. I don't know.
And I meant to put a link in here, but I forgot because I was in the middle of a work meeting and not really paying attention. But somebody put up on, I think I saw it on Reddit, there was a good breakdown of all the rewards you get for, say, a 2-star. And you don't lose all that much at this point from leveling a 2-star all the way up to get all the progression rewards for champions and then selling them off to get all the ISO back. You're effectively trading X amount of ISO for the tokens and the 3-star covers and so on. So that
right,
might
I think
be...
I saw someone say with a 2-star, like if you were to, like what it takes you to level them up to 144 or to 94.
Right.
And that if you continue with the covers, I think it's like you end up only being out 1,000 overall. Like if you were to, like from what it costs and then you sell them back.
That's a crazy low amount. I mean,
right. Really.
I'm just trying to see if I can find the post real quick to break it down. I'd completely forgotten that I had wanted to talk about this today until, you know, right now.
That's okay. I can cut out all this dead air, so I won't.
This is the bonus content. But I like how they, while Craig is looking, I like how they also increased how much you get back for selling a 4 or 5 star that's maxed out, because I've just got so many maxed out 4 stars, I just need to free up my roster.
Those are useless. I just gotta dump that as quick as I can.
Right, and all my champion 5 stars, my champion old man Logan, just taking up space. I don't even use him.
I have seen people with multiple old man Logans. I don't know.
Oh, yes.
It's a possibility.
Wow.
Oh, yes.
We don't want to talk about that guy.
Those people are monsters.
That guy? There's a few.
Yeah, but... All right, so here's a quick thing. Here's a guy saying he did some math. If you keep a level 144 champion 2-star and sell the next 63 covers, which would be your, you know, you receive 15,750 ISO 8 and keep the, you know, keep the person on your roster. However, if you sell the 144 champion 2-star and then re-champion them again with those same 63 covers... You receive 7,971 net ISO, 5 heroic tokens, 3 3-star covers, 375 hero points, and 5 command points. So, you're not... It's an 8,000 ISO swing?
Right, okay.
But you're getting all those covers and hero points and command points.
Yes.
So, if somebody, you know... I'd have to think... If they told me for 8,000 ISO, I could get 5 heroic tokens, 3 3-star covers, 375 hero points, and 5 command points, I would give them 8,000 ISO.
Nope. ISO is way more valuable to me than any of the other...
Nope. Hero points to me is still the most valuable asset because I can never recruit anyone because I never have any.
Yeah. Apparently you have far less luck with hero points.
I don't ever get them out of the Deadpool Daily Vault. Ever. I scrimp and scrounge constantly to get 1,000 so I can roster someone.
And immediately use it.
And I immediately use it. Right now I'm back up to 265 after getting enough to end my dying on the vines from last week. So
I'm torn. I don't want to sell people. You know what I mean? I like having every character in the game.
Right.
It makes me feel good. It makes me feel like I have a worthy roster.
Right.
But I'm in that 3 to 4 star transition. And while I have every 2 star and I have most of them championed, you know, there's ones that I don't use in the Deadpool Daily. I only use 3, maybe 4. I like having them so that I can play that required node in a PvE.
Yep.
But again, we might be doing it tonight. We shall see.
As Leonard mentioned, if you sell off your level 266 3-star, you get 105,000. A level 374 star, 320,000. And if you sell off that level 550 5-star, you get 500,000 ISO. Up from 180. Still doesn't seem worth it.
Well, the increase is significant, and I'll give them the... If you're looking at selling a character that you do have maxed, at least you're getting something back. Before, there was just no way.
Yeah.
Right? It was so little amount of ISO, there was not... At least now you could consider it. 2 stars is the only ones I might even consider. However, I have 8 champion 2 stars, and I don't need to, but as of right now, I do use every single one of them every day to complete the Daily Deadpool.
You're weird.
Now, I don't need to. I could easily drop 3 of them and still complete it. But I do use them every day just because, you know, I don't use them in the events. I'm never going to use, well, maybe Black Widow. But for the most part, I don't use 2 stars to play my normal fights.
No, just when they're the required character.
Right.
I don't know.
I can't see, right now at this point, I can't see selling any of those off. So.
All right. The most important change is that they increase the amount of ISO 8 you get from a member of your alliance playing from 10 to 100.
Yeah.
That's Woo-hoo! Huge.
So now you're getting 2,000 ISO a day as opposed to 200. That is a huge influx. Thank you very much for that change, because, man, that'll make my life a little bit easier.
That one shut a lot of people up.
Yeah.
Is all I'm saying. A lot of kvetching about the ISO shortage, and then that happened, and everyone's like, oh, I guess it's not such a shortage anymore. All right. We're sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that takes, if you're completing your Deadpool quest every day, that takes it up to 5,700 that you're getting
every day.
Pure ISO every day.
Yep.
That's a significant jump. Yeah. It changes. It actually is going to change how I'm going to deal with my dying on the vine. So.
Okay. And then the latest new info posted Tuesday on the D3 forums is we're now on difficulty scaling test. I don't know, 5, somewhere in that level. Enemy of the State, which starts on the June 9th, has some changes that they saw from watching the way Rocket and Groot played. So Here's the big highlights. No more points regeneration. In both versions of mission difficulty, the amount of points you gain in a mission goes down the more you play them. Once a mission is worth less points, it takes some time for the points to regenerate back to full. We have removed that system so that once a mission is worth less points, it will never be worth more points again. There's now a finite amount of times a mission can be played where you will gain points from it. So that's a big change.
I don't understand that at all. I mean, I understand the words that came out of your mouth. Yeah. I don't understand that's going to play out.
If it was worth 200 and you played it for 200 and then you waited, whatever, an hour or two, it's not going to be worth 200 again. It's going to be worth whatever it was when you left it.
Right. So, like, whether the respawn of it is 24 hours or 8 hours, when it goes through that full thing, it'll never be 200 again. It might be, like, 199, or it might be 190, or it might be whatever.
Right. Again, I understand how it functions. Here's my problem. You play these events, and you are ranked against other players. So you're telling me that once I get a fight down to where it's not worth any points, everybody is going to be tied for first place because everybody has played it till it's not worth any points. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's only now there's a finite number of points available in any event. So see, aren't the whales going to be at that level every time?
That's how it sounds, but every time they announce a slight change in the mechanic, the announcement never makes sense to me until I actually play it.
Yeah, see, that's where I'm, what it sounds like. I don't get that. Because if somebody, I mean, even somebody at, say, Brian's level, who's just going to grind away at these nodes until they're not worth any points, you're going to get to a certain point where you're just, okay, that's it. That's all the points I've accrued. If the points don't regenerate, you're just going to be done. So I don't understand. I mean, right. Obviously, I think I'm missing something, but
I think where the issue is going to come in is how much they go down by and how long is the time frame before it gets back up to a playable, worthy level. Like, I'm not going to play a node, no matter how difficult or easy it is, if I'm getting 10 points or 15 points or whatever it is. Right. Like, how much time is it going to be to get back up to 50 or 100 or, you know, whatever. I think that's where the key is going to come in. And the fact that we don't know that, those two critical pieces, I think makes it, you know, inability to say it's like, well, this is great or this is terrible.
Yeah, well, we're just going to have to play it and see, I guess.
Right.
I'm at a loss of how that's
going to
work.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm reading this differently. The way I get it is it's not going to go up ever. Once you play it, it's down. Because the next bullet point reads this way. More missions and more rewards. There is a finite amount of times you can play a mission, so we bumped up the amount of missions that can be played for hard and required character missions to 6 from 4. We haven't changed the starting difficulty for any mission, but we did raise the end difficulty for hard missions. Required character missions will end slightly harder than before. We also increased the amount of rewards that can be earned from a mission to match how many times a mission can be beaten for points. There won't be a time when you're gaining points for beating a mission, but do not receive a reward. So it sounds like if you play it 6 times, you're done.
Yeah.
Well, that's the key. That's an interesting thing, especially since this is Enemy of the State, and Enemy of the State on each wave of it has 2 wave nodes where you only get a prize for the first time that you beat it.
Right, so you always played it again and again just to get the points, because you could replay the wave for points. You just didn't get a reward. So that's a change. Next, updated missions difficulty details. Again, missions are worth a finite amount of points. Once a mission has reached its maximum difficulty, the mission begins to be worth less points. Every time a mission is beaten while it's at max difficulty, the points in the mission is reduced by 25% of the maximum amount of points the mission is worth to a minimum of 0. The points a mission is worth no longer regenerates over time.
It's crazy. I still don't understand. I understand what it's saying. I don't understand how this is going to play out in ranking.
Because people used to optimize their time for letting the points gather up to max every, you know, whatever hour, 8 hours or whatever that time was.
And I'm fine with the fact that they're doing away with that, because I could never do that.
Yeah, right? I never could either.
I get to play when I can. So my ability to jump in and play as much as I can whenever I can, that I love. I love that they're changing that. I know some people hate it, but I don't.
Yeah. All right, more missions. Each subchapter has a minimum of 9 repeatable missions, 3 easy, 3 hard, 3 required characters. In one-day subchapters, easy missions increase in difficulty 4 times and are worth points the first 7 times they are beaten. Hard and required character missions increase in difficulty 6 times and are worth points the first 9 times they are beaten. Alright, so now we're getting more details. So you can beat the some 7 and the hard ones 9 times. All right. In 2-day subchapters, easy missions increase in difficulty 8 times and are worth points the first 11 times. Hard and required character missions increase in difficulty 12 times and are worth points the first 15 times they are beaten. Each mission has rewards equal to the amount of times they can be beaten for points. So now there will be, in the hard and missions, there's going to be 15 rewards. Which means when you want to get that one CP, invariably you're going to have to play that thing 15 times.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So that sounds like that might make my head hurt and I might claw out my eyes. But we'll see how that goes. Difficulty changes. No changes were made to easy missions. All missions start at the same difficulty as appeared in Meat Rocket and Groot. Hard missions have a maximum difficulty higher than Meat Rocket and Groot. Required character missions have a maximum difficulty slightly harder than Meat Rocket and Groot. So the harder missions are going to be a little harder, and you're going to have to play them more often to get all these 15 rewards.
Right.
I don't know, man. Again,
so it sounds like more grinding?
Just what this game needed.
But I mean, we'll give it a go and report back next week as to how it played out. Because Enemy of the State starts in, I don't know, 8 hours?
Yeah, not very long.
Well, I will pick a different thing, so mine won't start for another day.
Sure.
But the first round of it starts in 8 hours, so I'm sure you'll be able to find people talking about that on Reddit or on the D3 forums. All right, so that's that stuff. Ray, what's in the mailbag?
There was a whole lot, so I'm going to try and cover it very quickly because we are way over time. However, I did mention that there were a lot of people talking about the new Hawkeye. A few highlights. Random Task 83, I think, summarized it fairly well. He said he didn't understand why people were intrigued by the healing prevention, and here's why. Anyone who stuns a character prevents that character from regenerating. So you've got 2-star Storm that causes AoE damage and stuns for 4 turns. So if you stun someone who regens, you're preventing their healing.
Yes.
Black Widow can stun for 5 turns, the 1-star Black Widow. So that prevents the healing, and it's for far less AP than her ability to prevent healing costs. So that's an incredible point. I mean, now, the prevent healing does also prevent any healing, so it prevents Kamala Khan from healing everyone, right, as well as the regeneration that would be happening, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I get his point. Yes, you can always stun Kamala Khan, and then she won't heal everyone.
Right.
So I get it. I understand it. I don't know. It's an interesting new mechanic, and it lets you take down Silver Surfer.
See, I've never had a problem with Silver Surfer, even the fully covered ones that I've encountered. So.
Well, he can't be stunned, and he heals himself.
True. Right. Sure.
So, there you go. She can go fight Silver Surfer.
Yeah, it has usefulness. I just think it's limited. The real Mad Salad, who we know is Angry Salad or Brian.
Please stand up. Please stand up.
He says,
"Yay, it's the first singing of the show."
He agrees that the blue power is way too expensive to be useful. Old Man Logan will crap all over you by the time you accumulate those 12 blue to stop him from healing. Again, it just comes back to you need too much. And then Stink Palm said something that I can't disagree with. He's going to sum up why healing prevention sucks. Who wants the fight to last longer? Who would take a heal stop over a big attack? It's a good point. The heal prevention is just going to make your fight last longer, basically, as opposed to being able to deal damage and end a fight sooner. So those are the highlights for the, I think overall it seems a lot of people are negative toward her. I'm not as negative, but there you go. Those are the comments. Some interesting things about the new character. AstroMonkey9 said satellite fight. He equivalented that to Alpha Flight. It's now a space station Alpha Flight works from. This means that we're finally getting Puck. I'm pretty sure that's quite a stretch right there.
Oh boy, Snowbird coming in.
Vindicator, the whole crew. Oh, Sasquatch. We'll get Sasquatch.
Yeah, Sasquatch. Yeah, there you go. And what's the Box, right?
Box is the their Iron Man knockoff, yeah. Sure.
He also said, who lives on the moon? The Watcher. A 5-star Watcher is coming.
Oh,
that'd
no.
That'd be amazing. All of his powers wouldn't do anything. It'd be like Uatu watches from the shadows and writes it down.
D-Wing Illinois came up with a power form that if you activate it, you can make a match and see how the board lands after any cascades, and then you can call a mulligan and reset it back to the way it was before you made that match. I don't think that's happening.
Where you just bring every magic dynamic in here, like Ancestral Recall, Time Walk, all that sort of stuff?
Sure.
Hey, was it Wheel of Fortune was the one where you got to choose a new hand, right?
No way. Nothing beats Scheherazade.
Remind me, what was Scheherazade? I know that was from Arabian Nights, but what did that one...
Scheherazade was Arabian Nights. It was the first, if I remember right, it was the first card banned from tournaments. what Scheherazade was, and it was like one white, we both put down our hands, ignore everything on the table, pick your deck up, go start a new game. The winner of that sub game, then you go back to your original game, and the loser loses half their life. I think it was some word in some way like that.
I'm pretty sure that this sounds very familiar. I'm pretty sure that's the card that got played, and I said, that's it, I'm out.
Right. So I used to play Magic with this guy. He was an oddball. His name was Rico. So Rico, this was early days of Magic. Like, this is when I got in, Arabians is what I bought. Because the local comic book store didn't have starter decks or anything of... Whoa, what would that have been? Alpha... I guess that's first edition. It was Alpha Beta first edition Arabians, right?
Right. Yes. I think that Arabian was the first expansion. So they did... Was it Antiquities?
Nah, Arabians came first, right? I'm pretty sure Arabians came... Anyway, all they had in stock were booster packs of Arabians. That's where I get into Magic. So I bought a bunch of Arabians and had to trade away a lot of stuff to get things that I could actually play decks of. In any case, this guy named Rico would build his... He had a red-white deck, and he would fork Scheherazade. So fork is take any spell and make it happen twice. So he would play Scheherazade and fork it. So you would have to then go play two sub games. And obviously he would have more than one Scheherazade and fork in his deck.
Oh my God.
So when we would play at my friend John, who owned a gaming store, a hobby store, and he would sell Magic, we would play a lot there. And there were times where one game of Magic between two people was spread across, you know, an 8-foot table, because you would leave your stuff, slide to the right, play the next game. Oh, Scheherazade, slide to the right, start playing the next game. Oh, Scheherazade, slide to the right. And one game of Magic would take an hour and a half to play through.
That's terrible. That's
so,
just,
So, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how we even got to Scheherazade.
Oh, because you when you had postulated about the from listener comments there about what the Watcher's powers could be, right. I aligned them to banned Magic cards.
Yes. Oh. Yes. So
Scheherazade. This conversation just makes me happy that I stopped playing Magic when I did.
I can tell you one worse. For years I've been trying to convince Ray that he should play. I don't know if you ever played this game. But there was a game called, originally it was called Jihad.
I'm aware of it,
this
yes.
This was Richard Garfield's next game after he created Magic. This was based on the White Wolf universe, vampires, werewolves, fairies, so on and so on. This was the greatest, in my opinion, the greatest multiplayer collectible card game ever made. It's phenomenal. It's incredible amounts of fun. It's hard to find people who still play this game to play it. I've got a gazillion cards. So if anybody ever wants to come to my house and play some Jihad or Vampire the Eternal Struggle, as it got renamed when White Wolf bought the product back. Anyway, it had the most annoying card of all time. It had a Malkavian card. Malkavians are the vampires who are all insane, and they can project insanity upon you. They had a card called Madness of the Bard. Madness of the Bard required all players to speak in rhyme.
Wow.
This was the worst card ever made for any collectible card game.
Sure.
Like, when that card got played, I would just forfeit the game. I'd be like, nope, you win.
Anybody want a peanut?
Yeah, like, I do not want to play... Like, I just want to play the game. I don't want to go into this stupid metagame of having to come up with rhyme every time I play a card out of my hand. Yeah. Like, I just don't want bothered with this.
You are correct. I think that is worse.
Yeah. My God, it was infuriating.
All right, I got some more comments from our new alliance members.
All right, hit me.
Dances with Weevils, who is now a member of our alliance. Both of these, by the way, are about our suggestion that the new character might be Moon Knight. He said that he always thought that the writers from Moon Knight were trying to say, I swear this isn't Batman. Throwing the croissants and having the utility belt. And he's dressed in white, not black. See, it's not Batman.
Yeah, sure.
And hiding from Muggles said that he asked if we'd seen the new Moon Knight comics. They've apparently revisioned the entire Moon Knight which sounds very interesting to me. So he realizes apparently that he is locked up in a nut house and was just fantasizing about being Moon Knight.
That's correct. And it's really good.
Yeah, I apparently have to go see this because, like I said, I was a fan of Moon Knight in the day, which was I don't know, 20 years ago. And yeah, that sounds very interesting.
Right, and every Moon Knight supporting character is also in the loony bin with him.
Oh, nice. Hmm. All right, I'm going to have to go back and revisit that. We got another question from Jackson, who is another member of our alliance. It's like I'm just quoting things from our alliance.
Nepotism!
he's had a question about the Crash of the Titans. Does the Titan fight stay available for 24 hours? He said he finally had a chance to fight one of them with his Hawkbuster, but didn't know if he had enough time to actually get the fight done. I believe it's the same as the whole Daily Deadpool, so it stays for the full...
Yeah, with your Deadpool Daily at 6 a.m. Eastern?
I don't remember. It's before I get up, I know that.
I think it's 6 a.m. Eastern.
It's 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go. It should be available for 24 hours. So stay up as late as necessary. And I have to mention Estlor, who spent a lot of time over the weekend playing his 3-3-1 Chalk to see if he could come up with a scenario which was valuable. Summary, the too long didn't read, is that his powers are objectively terrible. he could not find a good combination whatsoever. It's actually a good read. If you're interested in what he tried, what he came up with was best was to pair with two-star Magneto and Storm in order to protect Storm from everything but Yellow and use her vastly superior powers, her blue, to destroy people. So just basically using him as a meat shield is all he could come up with. So there you go. That's it sounds like you put a lot of research into it. There were several paragraphs that I'm just giving you the highlights for.
Okay.
But yeah, there you go. That was hot dogs. There you go.
That's all I got. All right. It's time for the feature character of the week.
Feature character of the week.
This week brought to you by Stay Sent Romeos. Listen, ladies. Do you need a companion for a nice business function, but you're low on funds? Call Stay Sent Romeos. Romeos. For cheap. Stay Sent. All right. This week's feature character of the week is Sue Storm, the Invisible Woman.
Sorry, I'm still trying to suppress laughter. Go ahead.
Fine. Don't laugh at me then, jerk. All right. Sue is a yellow, blue, green character. Yellow power is the ever popular how you win with her in the Crash of the Titans. You make her go invisible.
Yeah.
And things happen. I have always and forever had mine at 155 because that's what I get for her. So I've never actually paid attention that her invisibility actually gets better. But here's what happens. As it goes up in level, it creates protect tiles. So at level 2, you get a 1 protect tile of strength 50. At level 3, it's 2 of those. Level 4, it's 2 protect tiles of strength 92. And at level 5, it is 4 of those of strength 92. At max level, you get her up to 4 protect tiles of strength 184 for a total of 736 damage reduction. So that made her seem better, I guess. The key to that power is that it protects the quote-unquote weakest member of the team, and by that means whoever has the least amount of health when she casts it. Sometimes that's herself, sometimes not so much. Her next two powers are a combo, effectively. You have to do one, then the other. Blue is bubbles for 7. Oh, I didn't say it. Invisibility costs 9 yellow, which is a little too expensive. For 7 blue, Sue focuses her power to lock down the enemy team and save the day. So locks 2 chosen basic tiles and force bubbles, and then creates a blue protect tile of strength 64. As this go up at level 2, you lock 3 selected basic tiles and make a protect strength 86. At level 3, it can lock strike, protect, and attack tiles. Level 4 locks 4 selected tiles. It makes a protect tile of strength 107. At level 5, the protect tile goes up to strength 127. At max level, those go up where it becomes a strength 252 protect tile. So you have to kind of do force bubbles first because you need lockdowned or locked tiles to do her next power, which it costs a sad 12 green for force field crush. This shatters 2 random force bubbles. Does not generate EP. Each force bubble deals 64 damage, and it's unlocked but not destroyed. If there are no force bubbles, you spend 12 green to make 2 of them that are random. Not a good trade.
No.
Level 2, this goes up to 283 damage per bubble. Level 3 is 503. Level 4 destroys 3 bubbles and the tiles surrounding them. So this is now where you can at least get some board shake out of it. And at level 5, it's 1,070 per bubble. So that's, you know, 3 bubbles at 1,070 each. And at max level, she's doing 2,123 per bubble, which is 6,369 kind of damage is what you're looking at there. So it's Sue. She's not that great. She hangs out with Quicksilver. At least in my world, she hangs out with Quicksilver. I make a bunch of blue. Then she blows things up. He blows things up. They blow things up.
That's a lot of locked tiles that you got going on there.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Like I said, mine's at 155 and has been that way for quite some time. She was my highest level character for a long time at level 192. And she's still at level 192.
Upon listening to this, I'm a little confused. Because you distinctly said that she destroys 3 force bubbles and the tiles surrounding them at level 4 yes. of her force field crush. I only have level 3 of force field crush, and I'm pretty sure it destroys the tiles surrounding them.
Pretty sure.
I mean, that's how I use that. Like, I know that it does, actually. So I'm confused about the write-up on this. I think it's a little inaccurate. I'm wondering if the tiles surrounding them get destroyed when you get to level 3.
I think it's more tiles get destroyed.
Oh, so like, the blasts get bigger?
I think the blast gets bigger is what it is.
Okay.
I honestly couldn't tell you. Like I said, mine has been at the same exact power level for so long that I do not recall the power working in any other way than the fact that I have it at level 5 and that's the way it does.
So when you use Force Field Crush, is it doing, like, how big of destruction are we talking?
It's just all the ones immediately around it, so that's a, you know, a 3x3.
Huh, yeah, a little confused by that. I don't understand. But
at its higher end, it does do a lot of damage.
Sure, so you're talking, what, 2,000 per?
Yeah, it's 6,369, plus I think you get the damage for the tiles that you blow up.
Right.
So, you know, 7,000 points of damage, rounds about, you know, 6,500.
That's decent, except you have to have 7 blue and 12 green in order to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not an area effect, it's you're only damaging one person. It is, you know, kind of a, you can kind of use it as a controller to shuffle the board around, destroy tiles you need to get destroyed, but...
Yeah, I understand it's a new mechanic, but I'd really like to see her work. She should really have something more like Daisy's anti-AoE effect, because she's Sue Storm. She makes force fields.
Right.
Why can't she throw force fields out in front of my people and reduce damage?
Well, that's what the invisibility is supposed to do, but I get what you're saying, that it should be doing more.
Yeah.
They're trying to have her be both an offensive character and a defensive character at the same time, and she's neither.
Right. And she's never, you know... When you think of Fantastic Four, she's not who you're going to for offense. You know, to me, she was always the, you know, I'll go invisible, I'll go do something while the enemy is distracted by the Thing and Johnny Storm, while my husband, I don't know, looks smart in a corner and stretches his arms. And, he stretches his stomach real big and the Thing bounces off of him. You know, the weird stuff that they do with Mr. Fantastic and Plastic Man and all those people who just are rubber. I don't know. Force fields are good, but...
My Sue is 445, and she's another one of those ones. Is like, that's just the way those initial covers came to me. I have her at level 156. She will be championed one day, but that day is not today. I can guarantee she will be championed before Cho is, but that's not high praise. Again, she's good, but she's not like, there's such a divide between... the four stars between the four stars, and you can't even say like the old four stars and the new four stars, because if I'm not mistaken, like Nick Fury was one of the original four stars, at least in the first like 5 or 6, and he's awesome.
Yeah, he's really good.
Right, and Sue is also in that early group of that first 4 or 5 four stars, and they've changed her because she actually used to be worse than this. Like her powers used to cost more and do less.
Oh, wow. Okay. That might have been before I started playing.
No, it was right around the time, if it was not at the same time that they changed X-Force Wolverine, it was right before they changed X-Force Wolverine.
Yeah, it happened before I had either of them. I know that.
Right, right.
I think I was playing, I'm pretty sure you were playing, Greg, but it wasn't, there were no 4 stars in my roster at that time.
Yeah, so if I was in 1 and 2 star land, it wouldn't have made any, you know, whatever.
Right.
I don't know, so no one actually uses Sue Storm in any way?
No.
Yeah, unfortunately not. I use her very, very sparingly. Well, the thing is, like we said, even back with Grant Invisibility, that costs 9. It's a little too much for what it does. The fact that her first 2 powers throw out projectiles, that's cool, but compared to other characters, She's going to be near the bottom of the list. Like you said, she's better than Cho. I might even say she's better than the new Hawkeye, just because I've been seeing a lot of negativity probably about it. But yeah, just not that great. Like you said, they tried to make her do damage and defense, and she fails at both now.
Yeah, I agree. Again, anybody out there use Invisible Woman a lot? Shout it out to us for next week. We'll see what you got to say. All right, Dying on the Vine. Marr. Why I like that. All right, so here's... I got a conundrum. It's kind of bad, but I think I'm going to do this anyway.
Okay.
I have in my possession Dying on the Vine in 7 days, my 14th Elektra cover. I know there's no reason why I should champion Elektra, but I think I'm going to do it anyway.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
Good. Convince me that I should spend all of the ISO that I will earn in the next year to do the, to make this happen. Because holy smokes, is it going to take me all the ISO.
Okay, well, first off, you're now getting way more ISO than you used to. So it won't take you as long as you think it might. However, her Shadow Step ability, I have learned, is really way more powerful than you might think it is. And I got into a little bit of argument about this. I think it was actually Brian who said that, you know, it's not all that good. But, you really consider she is taking zero damage. If you can pay attention to when whoever it is you're fighting is going to be doing that big, massive power, and you just throw out Shadow Step and then make sure you do a match and she goes in front, the computer doesn't pay attention to this and will do that big, massive, you know, surgical strike X-Force Wolverine or something like that. And it'll do, instead of doing 11,000 points of damage, it does nothing.
Yep.
And they take damage. It's just way better than I thought. I thought she wasn't that good as well a while back, but I don't know. She was boosted recently, and I used the crap out of her.
Here's my problem, is that Shadow Step is cool. 10 black is a lot of black.
It is, and there are a lot of characters who use black.
Yes, since Ian's not here, there's much better ways for me to spend black.
That is true. I'll give you that.
Double cross is still stupid.
Yes.
I hate that power something fierce. If somebody thinks it's good, please tell me why. I understand I can steal some strength tiles, but I have to give some back. They're not as good as the ones I get, but I don't want to give them any. And, you know, there's just other characters who do that kind of thing better. I mean, Ballet of Death to me is her best power, you know, where it just does damage every turn. But it's a one trap tile that gets matched away fairly quickly.
And not only does it get matched away, but it's a trap tile. And trap tiles have a tendency to
get overwritten.
Like, for somebody like X-Force Deadpool, who can throw out countdown for what? Like 5 countdown tiles? Those will just override your traps.
Yep.
And make them go away. So I'm not arguing Elektra's the best, but there are places where she's incredibly useful.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
I get it. But here's my problem is that I've been saving for this. I'm up to 214,000 ISO. I've got 7 days, and I have no idea how much ISO is going to take, because I don't ever try to figure that out. But right now, I can make her level... It stopped at level 258.
Right.
For 291,000 ISO. So it's going to cost me more than that to get her to level 270. Plus, then I'll have to champion her for what? What is it, 12,000?
12.5.
Right. So I'm looking at, I don't know, 350,000 ISO?
I say sell it.
And I need to do that in the next 7 days and 12 hours. So I need to get 100,000 plus ISO in the next week.
Sure. What is your other choice?
Oh, that's it. It's just do I champion Elektra or do I just say to hell with it and just dump it? My other choice would be whatever comes up in opening tokens here shortly.
Right. So and see, that's what I say. I say either dump her now, just so that you don't have the specter of her hanging over your head, or wait the 7 days, just in case with what you open today, or maybe you get another day, you get more Elektra covers to make it more enticing to do so, or you get covers of someone who you would rather champion instead.
Yeah. All I know is when I've been looking forward to some of my 3-star characters that have been coming up in, like, the Deadpool Daily and such, man, I'm going to end up with a flurry of Star-Lord covers sometime soon. I have, like, so many people who are going to be, if they get one more cover, will give me a Star-Lord cover. And I think Star-Lord is also coming up in my daily resupply. And, yeah, in 4 days. He's coming up on day 670.
I understand what you're saying, but, man, I don't like him.
I had no choice but to champion him. After whatever event it was, I ended up having, like, 3 covers for him. And I'm like, I can't, like, I just can't see myself just selling these covers. Like, that's the reason why when championing began, the first ones I championed were people like Psylocke and Mystique, because I just ended up somehow with like 5 covers, 6 covers for them. And I'm like, I'd be foolish to sell these covers of them. Like, championing is the thing to do. So I bit the bullet and I championed Star-Lord. I never use him. You know, I'll try to use him. But even with the amount of hit points he has, he just seems like he has like the glassiest of glass jaws.
Hmm.
Good old Psylocke. Appearing in X-Men Apocalypse, a theater near you.
I like the part in the movie where she said, and then the other part where she said, oh, classic lines, go down in infamy. Do you know the story about Olivia Wilde being in there as Psylocke?
Isn't it Olivia Munn?
Olivia Munn, same to, Olivia Munn, yes.
Yes.
She was originally supposed to be the female lead, the girlfriend in Deadpool.
Right.
And she turned it down because she felt it did not showcase women in a good light. Instead, she takes a movie, role in a movie where she runs around in a thong and says nothing.
Yeah, well, she's got a sword.
And, there you go.
And she's got her psychic sword. So she's got two swords. That's what she's got.
I can't comment. I haven't seen it yet.
She's got two swords. I don't think that's too big of a spoiler, but hey, two swords. Yeah. So I suppose she can complain like a what was it, the story I was seeing, that I saw something where somebody was complaining about Fury Road, which still makes me angry because I love that movie.
Yep.
That somebody complained that there wasn't enough dialogue, and somebody said, have you ever seen a Mad Max movie? If you go back and watch the Road Warrior, there are 16 lines of dialogue he's got.
Right.
That's it. The whole movie, the main character says 16 lines. It's Mad Max. Deal with it. He makes a lot of grunting noises. You know? Man, just leave Max alone. That's all he wants, man. He just wants
you're
to survive
Mad
in the
Max
wasteland.
You're watching for dialogue. You picked the wrong movie.
You are watching this movie for car chases and fire. Just deal with it. Man. Anyway, so what do you guys got dying on the vine?
All right. So here's my situation, and I'm just going to... I'm trying...
All right.
I'm going to try and
here's
describe it without influence. No.
I'm with you. I gotcha.
Okay.
So I just was able to... Who did I champion? I actually posted on Facebook, but now I don't remember. Oh, Gray Suit Black Widow. I got her up to 183, which got me my final Nick Fury cover. So I have him at 535.
Yeah.
And I can champion him. But that's going to take, like you said, championing a 4-star. I'm currently... I can get him up to level 250 for 202,000 ISO. So I'm quite a ways off. But at the same time, I really want to champion him, right?
Yeah.
He would be my second 4-star. I really want to get him there. But at the same time, I have 2 3-stars that I don't have champion, the Punisher and Spider-Man. I just received a Punisher and Spider-Man cover, 1 each.
Yeah.
So for the same amount of ISO, I could champion 2 3-stars with the extra cover to get the legendary tokens.
You get the legendary tokens, yeah.
Or I can just focus on getting my Nick Fury.
I mean, if it's me, I'm going for the tokens. I mean, I love me some Nick Fury, but...
Do you have the 14th cover to add on Nick Fury or no?
No.
Then I would wait. I would do the 2 3-stars.
Okay. That's where I was headed.
Yeah.
But, man, I want Nick Fury.
I know. He's really, really good. But I think where your roster is right now, the bigger... For the people that are looking to that transition, if you have all the 4-stars or all the 3-stars on your team, on your roster, there's no reason you should not be working towards championing all of them, because 3-star covers come up more frequently than 4-star covers.
Right.
And instead of selling them for 500 every time, you could be building 4-stars that way and making those 3-stars existing stronger. And I know there's this scaling thing where the damage doesn't do as much or whatever it is, but eventually those covers that you would be selling for 500 become 1,000, become heroic tokens, become 4-star covers, become command points instead of just 500 ISO.
Okay. That's the path I was heading towards. Yeah. Now I'm really heading towards it. So right now I have 125,000 ISO, so I can do Spider-Man right away. He was the first one I got. And then I've got 11 days to get another, I don't know, 80,000 ISO to do the Punisher. And I think 80,000 in 11 days, I think I can do that. So,
yep.
So,
okay, so for me, we've already kind of covered my dying on the vine, and it kind of spilled over into my opening up of legendary tokens.
Right.
So, you know, as I mentioned from what I got before, I sold the Cho cover. I'm not championing Cho. I sold the Invisible Woman cover. I'm not championing her. Everyone that I could level up, I did. Ghost Rider, War Machine, Red Hulk, who's now fully covered, and I could champion them. But I'm not gonna because I don't have that extra cover for him. I'd like to champion him and have the extra cover, you know?
Right.
Yep.
Blue Teen Jean and purple five-star Jean. So we're good to go. So who I can... I have two Wolverine covers that I'm sitting on, but I can't champion Wolverine unless I get a yellow cover, which is also the other thing I was hoping from opening those things. So those covers are immediately getting sold.
Ugh, sad, which, but okay.
Right, but again, I gotta wait on yellow covers,
right,
so on and so forth. I'm here for the immediacy. I'm on the show. We're doing it now. Now, I can champion Ant-Man. I have a cover I'm sitting on. I'm also sitting on a Magneto and Punisher cover, both of which will put them at 183. Magneto will give me a Melonhead cover. Punisher will give me an Elektra cover. So, I can champion Melonhead, Elektra, or Ant-Man. Who should I champion?
Melonhead.
Ray?
Ant-Man. Oh, man. All right, so even though I was really, you know, hyping up Elektra,
yes,
I have to say she's third on that list.
Right.
I do love me the Professor X, but I have been crushed by Ant-Man so many times, unexpectedly. Like,
well, Small Town Crooks always drives me crazy, but... Because I use characters who put out tiles. So.
I don't know. I think Ant-Man's going to be at the top of my list there.
No way. Okay. There's too many characters who will let you make criticals, and then Giant Melonhead appears on the screen, and the damage just starts rocking at that point.
That's true.
See, I'm of the same thought as Craig, who said, I've played against Ant-Man so much, and he's crushed me so much. Whereas I think when I see Professor X... on the opposing team, he's the first person I take out.
Yeah,
right.
He doesn't make it five turns. He's dead. Like, all of my attention is on him. And I'm afraid that if I champion him, that's going to happen. I'm going to get frustrated and never play him.
Well, I mean, the computer doesn't do that. Doesn't play that smart.
Right. But if you're going up in PvP and you're using Charles,
yeah, everyone
he's
takes him out
to
first.
Be the target.
Yeah. I mean,
right.
Yeah, and I do that when I go up when I see Charlie's Angels all the time. You know, I always just immediately kill Chuck first.
Right.
Right.
Because when he first came out, and I think I've told this story before, and I know I sent screenshots to Ray back when. When he first came out, I was at an airport somewhere, flying back from Austin, I think. And Melonhead, I was fighting against Melonhead, and I didn't understand Melonhead at that time because he was brand new. I had killed off the other two people I was fighting, and it was down to me and Melonhead, who promptly went invisible in a space that I could not get to. Started strengthening his own tiles, and I literally could not do anything. I was doing righteous uppercuts for 1 point of damage. And he couldn't kill me, but I couldn't do anything. It was the most infuriating thing of all time. He had multiple protect tiles on the board that were taking away, like, I don't know. Do you remember what it was, what I told you back then, Ray? It was, I don't know, 600 apiece or more?
No, it was in the thousands. It was in the thousands,
yeah. Yeah, because the righteous uppercut does, what, 4,000 or 5,000?
Something like that.
Yeah, it was 1 point of damage.
Ugh.
Righteous uppercut for one. And I'm like, oh, okay. So when he wasn't invisible, you know, I couldn't hurt him. And then he would just go invisible again.
Right. So this is, and this is the other thing, of course, as we discussed before about, are we looking to make these games last longer? And if I'm playing Xavier and he's my last character, it's going to just take forever.
Yeah.
Either for me to whittle away at my opponent or me to have an invisibility token or tons and tons of defend tiles, and it's just going to last forever.
Or for me to poop on.
So, I'm going with Ant-Man.
Oof.
To do so, I have to sell a two-star, because I need that ISO.
Oh, come on. I wouldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
Okay. A week ago, I said there's no way I'd be able to sell a two-star. But
right, unless it's Moonstone.
Okay, it's not. It's going to be two-star Thor.
Oh, ooh. I use him every day.
Only because I don't use him as much as I used to, and I already have three covers that I'm sitting on, and I could just replace him with those. So I still have him on my roster, he's just now a piddling chump.
Right.
I use him every day, though. Every day I use Thor.
See, he used to be one of my favorite two-stars, but again, I use Magneto more, I use Hawkeye more, all those sort of characters more. So, now with all that ISO, I'm going to level Ant-Man all the way up to 270. Baboom! Spend another 12,500 to champion him. Throw that cover in there. And let's see what I get from that cover. Come on, more Ant-Mans. Nope, it's Big Pun, the Big Punisher, the Punisher Max.
Punisher to the Max.
Punisher to the Max. So, not one I would say needed. It was an eventful evening for me.
That's a roster-changing event right there.
I wanted this appearance to be special.
All right, I did not win the Crash of the Titans this week, so I'm going to have to spend some CP. I'm up to 378, though, so I'll spend some.
Wow! So, I thought I was hot with my 107.
Yeah, well, I've been hoarding it because I don't ever have hero points, so I don't want to open things to get characters that I can't recruit. Because I don't want to sell any characters because I'm weird. So I'm going to use 20 of them and open up a Classic Legends and not get an Old Man Logan because that's what happens. So let's see. It's a 4-star.
Ooh.
It is a yellow X-Force Wolverine.
Oh, that's the one I needed.
Where's your Wolverine at?
That now gets him to 323.
Oh, okay. He's so powerful.
I never get covers for him, so that's fine. That's fine. That'll work out.
Yeah, I have him at 276 now, and man, he is a machine.
Speaking of, you know what's the most infuriating thing again about that Deadpool fight the other day that you walked through?
Yeah.
Is that I was dying to recovery by X-Force.
Mm-hmm.
That killed me, I think, 3 times. I didn't match it away. He would intentionally match it away and kill me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, this is ridiculous.
I do that with my Wolverine all the time.
Man.
All right. I'm going to open that latest Legends that I got from that Deadpool that we just mentioned. And I'm getting a 4-star. It is a second Drax cover.
Yeah, there you go.
Secret weapon.
That's the one where he hides in the shadows.
Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it?
Jumps out and punches you in the face.
I haven't used the Drax that I've already got, but that gives me one black and one purple. So, all right. Starting to get up.
Good deal.
Yeah, I can use at least.
I shockingly have more Drax covers than, like, I ended up getting a bunch. Mine's at 213.
Wow.
Right, it was just like, it was one of those runs where I got just a ton of covers on them. Like, there was a couple weeks ago on standard tokens, I was getting a low key, like, on every 5th standard cover. It was crazy. And low key currently is my highest, he was until the Kamala Khan event. You know, until we got a bunch of Kamala Khan covers, but he was my highest champion at 192 because I just got like so many covers from him off standards. Lastly, just to close out with the big, the crazy Jean, the 5-star Jean, I threw some ISO in her to get her up to level 375. So we're rocking and rolling with hot fire with her.
Wow.
Holy crap.
She's 242 currently.
Wow.
That's not a target. I don't know what
is. Oh, yeah. So you probably did well in the super crappy Children of the Atom event.
I did okay because, again, with her.
Every team I fought was Old Man Logan hanging out with Phoenix. And I was like, oh.
Well, again, I use Old Man Logan and Phoenix as my go-to PvP team anyway. So the fact that the both of them were boosted, it was just like, yeah, let's just keep going. Here we go. Like, it wasn't even fun.
Again, I hate all of you people and your Old Man Logans.
All right.
All right, we're going to pass this to you. Tell us about the podcast network.
All right, head over to soontobenamednetwork.com or soontobenamednetwork.tumblr.com, where it is a conglomeration of like-minded individuals and the podcast that they do. You could find them there. And hey, if members of the podcast network appear on another podcast, it gets mentioned in there as well. Right. Or if you're a friend of mine and you say, hey, could you plug this? I'll plug it for you too. But the actual things that are in the network are this very show, Puzzle Warriors 3, the shows that I appear on, which are Longbox Heroes and Longbox Heroes After Dark, the only two shows on the network that don't begin with the letter P or have a word that begins with P in them, like Fresher in Parlance, Profane Arguments, Prodigal Son Podcast, Podvocacy, and Prime Defective.
Oh, that's because you're sponsored by Cinnabon, and, you know, there's no P's in Cinnabon.
Right, they don't even let you pee in the Cinnabon. You have to go outside. you have to use the bathroom in the Hallmark next door.
Hey, thanks. All right, I think this show has gone on way too long.
Yeah.
For our one Alliance member who wanted a really long show, this is a really long show. It probably won't be nearly as long as we think it is because Ray's probably going to edit this thing. So for your edification on my end, we're 2 hours in. So I don't think Ray's going to put up a 2-hour show. So
probably not.
I hope he does.
Maybe we can make the uncut version, Ray, and you can edit down to the normal time and then just post this whole thing as is.
I don't know. That sounds like a lot of work, but maybe.
For the hardcore people, they can have the uncensored, not that there was anything that needed censored, but the unedited version.
Patreon exclusive.
Oh,
there you go.
There you go. Maybe, yeah. I don't know. Could be. So that's all. I just want to thank everybody for joining us. That's all for this week. As always, check for updates at PuzzleWarriors3.com, the iTunes, the Podomatic, the Stitcher. Check us out on Reddit, in the Marvel Puzzle Quest subreddit, on the D3 forums. Leave us comments on one of those media, and we will try to bring them up during the listener comments section. Anything you want to hear on the show, talk about, please bring it up to us. If you think all of our thoughts are stupid, that's cool too. Tell us about that. If you want to throw us a bone, you can click on the Amazon banner, buy something there, we get a few cents. If you want to throw us more cents, become a patron. Follow the link on our homepage. And some, like, other fine folks, some named Jeff, some named something else.
Some named Dave.
Some named Dave.
I think there might be a Josh in there, too.
Could be. There could be lots of. But join that group if you want to give us lots of money. Not a lot to you, a lot to us, because it pays for the bandwidth and the server storage and all that good stuff. But that's what we got. Goodbye for now. And remember, kids, mutton chops are for either for Elvis or for eating. That is all. Good night.
I like that one. I like that.
Good night, everyone.
Is that the music at the end? Yeah.
I don't know. I've never listened to our show.
Ah, see, I'm the same way. Like, without Ryan as the editor, we don't have the opener closing music anymore. And Todd was like, oh, we could just, like, kind of sing it ourselves. And I'm like, that means we would have to listen to our own podcast. Are you listening to the podcast? No. Am I listening to my podcast? No. I mean, he's like, all right, well, there just won't be any music anymore. So I could stop the recording now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.